We've spotted a few companies that are defying the retail headwinds by opening hundreds of new stores. These retail companies share a similarity, that is, the pricing of products on the shelves will blow your mind. You simply can't believe that the goods sold in such a nice store can be so affordable. Well, that sounds like too good to be true, actually, but apparently this is happening. So let's talk about these retail stores that are apparently forging a new trend in retail. And a few names come to mind, including Nomi, Miniso, Minchuang Youpin, or Wangyi Yanxuan, that's Yishun. And there's a few out there. So let's talk about this new trend.
Yeah, so we're going to use Miniso as an example, but bear in mind there are also, like Yang said, other brands here that's becoming more popular in China. So Miniso is a Chinese low-cost retailer and variety store chain. The brand was co-founded by Junya Miyake. I hope I'm pronouncing this Japanese name correct. And this guy happens to be a Japanese designer. And so it was also founded by Chinese entrepreneur Ye Guofu. And the company is headquartered in Guangzhou, Guangdong Province. And according to the official website of Miniso, it entered the Chinese mainland market in 2013 and started to expand the global market since 2015. So they're pretty ambitious. And then the stores are usually open in big shopping malls. They specialize in household and consumer goods, including cosmetics, stationery, toys, and kitchenware. And the price of most products is quite cheap there. And its logo looks similar to that of Uniqlo, a Japanese casual wear designer, manufacturer, and retailer. I remember oftentimes mistaking that their logo for that of Uniqlo before I really got myself familiar with this brand. And its decoration and style of the products looks similar to that in Muji, a Japanese retail company which sells a wide variety of household and consumer goods. In that sense, and I suppose they're lucky, or they're smart to have a logo that looks different, that looks only similar to Uniqlo instead of Muji.
And that's just interesting. You have a store that's a new one that's got its own brand name, but you've got the logo that looks like that of one company, and the layout of the store that looks like another company, and those two companies happen to be Japanese.
Well, they don't look exactly the same. I mean, the layout of these outfits by Miniso, I happen to have spent a few times there, and I realized that the shelves are not exactly arranged or well maintained as they do in Muji, at least based on my observation at a certain of his outfits in Beijing.
Right, and can I please give you another example before Nila, you start your commentary? There's another company that's also growing very fast right now here in China that is called Nomi, and I think in Chinese it's Nuomi, and it's a lifestyle brand based in Guangzhou, China, and it creates that pretty practical Swedish design consumer products, and the products cover a whole wide range of things, including kitchenware, towels, home
stationery.
Stationery as well. That seems to be an important part, and also accessories and basically home appliances and these small items that we all kind of need at some point, but you might not need them that urgently. But it's a great place, I suppose, for people to just go in and hang out, especially during weekends. And I think possibly that's one of the key reasons to the success of these companies, that when you can get the family to come in and wander around, well, that the key is getting the kid in there, I suppose. And and then you're seeing that this company, Nomi, also growing super fast and only started in China in 2018.
How do you spell that?
N-O-M-I. Nomi.
Nomi. Oh, okay.
N-O-M-E, actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And with a little sign on the vowels. It's not supposed to be English, but there
okay.
you go. And so just in the matter of less than 2 years, and then you see these companies, this company has also opened more than 200 stores. Really rapid expansion in this time when retail doesn't seem to be the buzzword at the moment, especially when you're talking about opening brick and mortar stores. So this is what we're talking about. Why do you think that these shops are kind of popular, and what's starting all of this?
I don't know. I mean, it's just for, first of all, I think the fact that it's the very cheap, the dirt cheap. Like if you have 20 kwa, you can actually go for shopping and come out of that store with something. So I think the price tag really attracts a lot of people who are working on a budget. At the same time, it's also a one-stop shop where you can buy lots of different, maybe you can buy kitchenware and bathroomware and even living roomware at the same spot at a very, very low price. So I think this is what is attracting a lot of people. And the quality itself is not that bad because I've not been a huge fan of these kinds of stores, but I've seen a lot of people buy really good quality products from these stores, and they still do the job, so why not?
And I think even though we tend to believe that we're now living in the age of online shopping, but we also notice there's a trend where technology firms that used to thrive on the internet, they're also looking to expand their influence offline. I mean, Amazon has bought, the Whole Foods company to have offline outlets. And here in China, Alibaba, they've been operating is Hema Xianxian, so it's a... Is a chain of outfits that focuses on providing fresh produce and vegetables and other along other things. So there's a trend for, although we keep talking about online shopping, new retail, the general trend is that the fact is for technology companies to get a new customer online, they have to spend a lot more and more money in mm-hmm. order to get a new client mm-hmm. online. So what they are doing is looking for potential customers who already have a demand for stuff, but nonetheless they choose to shop in an offline manner.
And also I would say that what they're kind of using in marketing terms, I think they're using the marketing psychology strategy where, for example, normally I would go to a supermarket just because I need to buy, you know, a crate of eggs, but then I come back with a whole bag of other things that I didn't know. So I think they're playing with that consumer psychology where they know this kind of store is not like, you don't wake up and say, I'm going to go shopping at Miniso today. It's one of those stores you walk in just to have a look, but then you end up coming out with a whole basket of things that, not necessarily because you need these things, it's because somehow you saw, oh wow, this looks so good, the colors look so good, the arrangement is so good, and it's so darn cheap, it's not that expensive. So I could, you know, what is 100 kwai if I lose 100 kwai and I come back with a whole bag of things? So I think it's they're using this market, their pricing is a strategy that's actually playing around with the consumer psychology and how consumers think. And like I said, it's a similar situation when it comes to how supermarkets do. And another thing, I'm not sure if what they do, because in supermarkets I've realized they do things on purpose such that if you went to the supermarket yesterday and you knew toothpaste was on the right-hand side, the following day it's not going to be there. You have to walk around the store, and while you're walking around to find this particular toothpaste, tube of toothpaste, your eyes are fixed to other things as well, and you just keep taking things, not because you need them, but because you just, oh, maybe I will need them. Maybe, you know, it's cheap, or maybe it's a promotion going on there. So I think there's a whole lot of psychology that goes behind these stores, and that's why they're pretty much really successful.
That's so interesting. I think I've always been fascinated about the arrangement in the store and what can sort of subconsciously lure the customer to buy mm-hmm. this item, and without this person coming into the store and having that plan in his or her mind, because I'm that kind of shopper. I don't like to just put everything in the basket kind of thing. I'm more like, in that way, I'm kind of, you know, maybe more male oriented in shopping that way. Although I like to shop, but yeah. I don't like to grab the stuff on the way because that's just going to go above my budget usually. Mm. But what's so wonderful. I do, Lai Ming. But Lai Ming, this is the part that I find so, in a way, kind of funny or positive of some sort. Just like Neela just mentioned, going into these stores, you can achieve financial freedom. Don't we all want financial mm-hmm. freedom? But, you know, when I go to a nice store like Lane Crawford, there's no way I'm gonna achieve that kind of freedom, right? Or, you know, go to Macy's or Bloomingdale's in the U.S., that kind of thing. But, yeah, a way to achieve that freedom? Well, you go to, you down, is it like downgrading your consumption prowess in a way that you just go to a store that has such an affordable pricing, mm-hmm. and then on the one hand you achieve the financial freedom, on the other hand what surprises a lot of people is these stores are so organized and well lit,
nice looking,
and it gives you that Muji feel when it's not Muji. So how do you explain all of this?
I mean, I suppose in some way it is some kind of upgrade in retailing, actually, if you compare to the shopping experience I used to have living in a small county. Well, I think the only stationery store in our county, or at least in the small town that I lived in, was run by the Xinhua Bookstore. So essentially it was publicly owned, or at least owned by a public institution. So I remember specifically it was not exactly well lit. It was a dark corner store, and with a couple of guys and women who were working there, not really paying attention to the layout of the store and not really caring how much stuff they sell on a daily basis, that sort of thing. So it was sluggish. I mean, now if you compare that to the well lit and well decorated outfits in downtown Beijing run by Miniso, then certainly that is an upgrade. But let's don't forget, I mean, maybe it's hard for people who are living in urban areas to realize that things don't have to cost that much. Stationeries, cosmetics, kitchenware, we're talking about eyebrow brushes that cost 9.9 yuan, like it's a miracle. But in actual fact, they don't really cost that much. I mean, obviously, in downtown areas, you have to account for, let's say, renting and labor resources. I mean, obviously, disposable income here in Beijing is a lot higher than, let's say, in my small county. So yeah, if you factor those things, I mean, the fact is, we urban dwellers have been factoring these things in for so long that we take it for granted that things are supposed to be expensive. But honestly, when you do look into the business, I have college classmates who sort of did some part-time job by selling, let's say, clothes. Mm-hmm. They basically bought them wholesale. So the money they spent was startling. They spent, let's say, 50 yuan on a bag of clothes. The clothes were not sold by piece. They were sold by weight. So a
wholesale.
Bag of clothes, wholesale. So it depends on how much you buy. So they made a lot of money.
But this is also kind of baffling for me. That is, Liming, yes, I totally agree with you. I've been educated as living in cities that these things are just expensive. Mm-hmm. And when you compare what is it, eyebrow pencil, that is just above $1 or $1.5, and you got like other eyebrow pencils, let's say from Shuamura, that cost like 300 yuan, and it's just, how do you explain that? I suppose it's the branding. When you're getting stuff from a internationally renowned beauty brand, then there's the brand premium that you're paying for. And also when these beauty counters or stores, they're located in busy and hip areas in a city, then I imagine that there's a lot of cost that goes to that. But when you can get get a eyebrow pencil in a similarly nice location in the city and paying such a cheap price for it, it's, how do they make money?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the way they position themselves in the mm-hmm. market. I mean, I can't even remember the name you just mentioned, the fancy brand of eyebrow pencils.
Yeah, I'm not going to say it again.
Anyway, I suppose they're targeting a small niche of the market. And as a result, the cost of production could be a lot more expensive than let's say, the wholesale kind of production. And also the transportation and other things, a lot more expensive. Whereas if you look at Miniso, I mean, they seem to be quite ambitious in expanding their reach. The China Daily Report said the company set a goal of opening 10,000 stores in 100 economies, including 7,000 stores overseas, and generating 100 billion yuan, about 14.52 billion US dollars in annual revenue in 2022. So they're not looking for high-end customers. They're not looking to, let's say, charge exorbitant prices on whoever is willing to pay them. They are in the business of expanding and reaching out to as many customers as possible. And in that sense, they can cut cost and other stuff. So enabling them to sell stuff at a much lower prices.
Mm-hmm. And I think also another point I would like to highlight is that like these kinds of stores like Miniso, for example, they do know that a lot of people are into material things. Like we believe our happiness is attached to the amount of things we have, and it actually beats the whole idea of trying to declutter things. And that's how people end up with like a lot of stuff. Like I've been to friends' houses and you go to their bathroom sink and you're like, why do you need 10 pencils for your eyebrows? Like
you only have two eyebrows.
Yeah, but then that's because every time this person goes past Miniso, for example, they see, oh, it's only 10 RMB. I will get two, you know? And the whole thing just goes on and on and on. And these people don't stop to think, do I actually need this? Because I already have maybe 5 pencils at home. They don't. They just look at the pricing and then they like, well, I can't afford it. And 20 kwai is not that much. And another thing I've noticed with stores, especially like you, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, like when you walk into a store, the louder the music, the faster the music, the cheaper the stuff, the quicker the decision to make. So there's a reason, like when you walk, for example, I think I've been to both Muji and Miniso. Muji tends to play much softer, much slower music. True. There's a reason for that. It makes you stop and think about why you should buy this thing and the quality. It stops you to stop and think about the process that went into the manufacturing. Whereas when you went to Miniso, the idea is for them to get you out of the store as fast as possible so that more people can get in. And the way that they play like really fast music, really quick music and really poppy party life, it puts you in a good mood such that it stops you from thinking whether you actually need this thing or not. But it helps your side of brain that thinks, oh, it's only cheap. Let's buy it. So you just keep taking things and putting them in the trolley, and then you pay and then get out of the store, and then another customer comes in. So there's a whole thing, reason that all this stuff go into, I mean, this whole thinking is behind these brands like Miniso or Muso. And it's just really funny. I mean, if you try to understand these things, and I think that's where they know, like a lot of people who would actually go into these stores and buy, a lot of things there are targeted to the female audience rather than the male audience, because the male audience tend to have a high involvement. They tend to think a lot more before I buy something. A man, if they go to store to buy a shaver, it's because they realize this morning they don't have a shaver. Mm-hmm. They need a new one. Then they will go and buy just a shaver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but then true. With women, it's just women go shopping because it's, you know, it's nice. It's fun. It's a hobby.
Yeah, it's an experience. I mean, you just described how the experience of shopping in Muji can be different from shopping in Miniso. But I have to say, yes, everybody has the need to enjoy the experience of shopping. And both Miniso and Muji apparently have done a decent job. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe Muji more so in providing that experience, and compared to at least the one I just described in my small county.
Mm. Yeah, that was quite an example, Lai Ming. I can't see anybody who wants to walk into a shabby looking dark store unless they really need to get something.
Yeah.
But then again, like you look at, so let's say here in Minis, I'm quite actually like impressed by how the dollar stores here are really clean and well organized. If you went to like, let's say the UK, you go into a Poundland, which is the equivalent of a dollar store, they're usually like really shabby places. They're huge, lots of things everywhere. It's a mess everywhere because it's cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's not really some place I want to go for shopping.
Exactly. And that comes back to the heart of why this kind of business model actually works. And there is one thing that these successful stores that we're talking about today that share, that's they look really nice. And there's also one similar style of interior design that's there, which is minimalistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you with Miniso or the Mumuso, or why do they sound so similar? There's a good reason why. And you see that they're modeling off something like Muji or Uniqlo. Mm-hmm. And those two ginormous companies from Japan, they have a little bit of a similar aesthetic shared there as well. And I would find the explanation where that derives from is Japan, after decades of slow growth, if not anti-growth, and that society has developed into one that is called low desire, apparently, among the young people, and people are done with
sport stuff.
Yeah, and you know, oh yeah, having stuff, sports cars, and conspicuous consumption that, you know, buying stuff to show off. And now in that country, people are looking for sort of cost-benefit analysis. What is the best buy out of cheap price but good quality? And you see that in Muji and Uniqlo and the likes of those companies. And here in China, we're definitely in a different stage in terms of development of a society. But you're kind of seeing the same kind of interior design that is catching on with these stores. And also with Nomi that we mentioned earlier in the discussion is modeled off some sort of Swedish interior design that's also going after the minimalistic, well-organized, well-lit kind of environment. So how do you explain this? Is there something going on here in China that is also sort of coinciding with those kind of aesthetics or penchant in what we see in life, or what?
I mean, there's always demand for cheap products. I mean, and certainly a good outfit and good art design of the store helps people become more attracted to the stores. I believe in the U.S. we have JCPenney, we have Anthropology, and there's a secondhand store in Manhattan on the Manhattan Island that's called the Market NYC, and where they say where they sell, let's say, used jewels, secondhand jewels, stuff that used to be mass produced but no longer, so you can spot some rare find there, that sort of thing. I'm not sure. I imagine. Secondhand stuff that are rare could be an exception compared to the topics we're talking. But my understanding is that obviously you have. I'm sorry, I just lost my thought of train of thought. I will recollect my thinking.
Well, there is something about the flea markets that I do think that makes things popular. And when you see, but with these stores that we're talking about today, there's another thing that's actually really interesting, Neela. I don't know how well it will fare with you. Mm-hmm. That is, they offer you very little choice. For example, if you go in for erasers, there's only two types.
Okay.
So you're not going to be spoiled with choices, but it's like, oh, they've picked it for you. Mm-hmm. These are the two erasers that this company thinks is good. And then you just pick one and then you leave. And you buy a lot of other stuff, apparently, Neela, on the way to the counter. But that's also, you know, part of their business model in a way, I think, limiting choices. But they've made a selection for you. And you sort of just go in and enjoy shopping that way. There's plenty to talk about when it comes to retail, especially in this new age. But after all this discussion, I realized that maybe some things don't really change. That is, we all want a good buy. Cheap but good quality, yeah. And that's never changed. You're listening to Roundtable,